Hello, everybody. I'm Neil Shulman. I'm the editor of The Link News. We are co-sponsoring this debate along with the Greater Long Branch NAACP. I'd like to thank the NAACP for their help. I'd also like to thank the Long Branch School Board, Superintendent Joseph Rain, and all the school employees who helped us get this ready. Their assistance was invaluable. And I'd like to introduce you to our three candidates who are running for mayor in the May 11th Long Branch Council and mayoral elections. In the alphabetical order, we have Bob Krebs, Adam Schneider, and Brian Unger. During the debate, we ask courtesy from the audience, please make sure your cell phones are off or set to vibrate. And now I'm going to introduce Bill Dangler from the NAACP to say a few words, and then we'll our moderator, Professor Joe Patton, who's a professor of political science at Monmouth University and the university's debate coach, will take over. Thank you very much.
Good evening, and on behalf of the Greater Long Branch NAACP, I would like to certainly welcome you again, and if I may, on behalf of the Long Branch Board of Education, I'd like to welcome you here to the middle school. We do appreciate you coming out. This is an important issue. Obviously, everyone has their own opinion, and tonight hopefully we'll be able to make a much more educated decision on who we vote for on May 11th. Thank you.
Okay, let's get to it. Our debate will begin with a two-minute opening statement from each candidate. The second section of the debate will include a Q&A from me. And each candidate will have 1 minute to answer and a 30-second rebuttal. In the third section, each candidate will be asking questions of each other. Each candidate will get to ask two questions. There will be a one-minute response, and again, each candidate will have a 30-second rebuttal. And then in the fourth section, we will take questions from the audience. And I believe if you don't have a card or would like a card, please raise your hand and Neil will come around and either give you a card or pick up your card. Thank you again for coming here tonight. This is a great day for democracy here in Long Branch. And we'll begin with the opening statement from Mr. Krebs.
Hey, my name is Bob Krebs. I'm running for mayor of Long Branch. I've been a certified financial planner for 25 years. My primary goal is to freeze taxes for 4 years. I believe I have the background to do it, and I certainly intend to do it. I think it can be implemented by taking over my abatement tax plan that I propose. I put that in the paper, where you have a 5 to 6 year tax abatement for anybody who wants to build a new home or improve their properties, and also for businesses that come into the city. We need more ratables here. I'd like to see the beachfront south built up with condominiums, and I know we're starting to do that, but we have different methodologies on that. And what I'm looking to do also is to have all the council meetings live on the internet so everybody can watch the council meetings and see what's going on, and also they can call in. And I think that's an area that I've gotten a lot of comments on. I've been going around and meeting a lot of seniors, and they've indicated to me the senior benefit they want is quit raising the taxes. And that's what they're really concerned with.
I should also mention Mr. Dangler will be keeping time, and if you see a red pom-pom going up, he's either cheering for you or you have 10 seconds to finish your time.
Good evening. My name is Adam Schneider. I'm the mayor of the city of Long Branch. 20 years ago, I started out with a group of people with a goal of saving a piece of land called Jackson Woods. People told us that was impossible, that you couldn't do it. But working with a group of people, some of whom are still my closest friends, we were able to create a nature preserve. And from that launched a political career I never anticipated. I ended up running with a group of people in 1994 who also became my closest friends. Some of them are here tonight. Only one of them chose to run again, Dr. Mary Jane Selley, and I'll deeply miss Anthony Mike and Dave Graham. We changed the city and we changed it dramatically by working together for a common purpose. When they decided they weren't going to run again, I looked and worked hard to find a new group of people to run with, and I'm very happy with them, and I've really enjoyed this campaign. We've had fun. In knocking on doors all over the city, I've been revitalized in a way that's thrilled me. People are thrilled with the work that we've done in the city. Revitalized the oceanfront, created jobs, built Manhasset Creek Park, and made the town significantly safer. We made a decision to increase the size of our police force from 70 to 100, and we've maintained it. And you go through neighborhoods, and you see new homes, and homes refurbished, and people happy and proud to live in Long Branch. You go to the oceanfront, and you see 1,000 people working in Pier Village, jobs that didn't exist that long ago. You see a park in Beachfront North. You see Truax Avenue, you see kids playing. And we've managed to revitalize an entire city. One of the things I intend to work for over the next 4 years is a new pier. That's been the goal since I first got elected. It's another goal people say that's not possible. But I know full well it's very possible. We've gotten funding from the federal government to do the design, the planning, and the engineering. And while it's going to take a lot more work, it's work I'm really looking forward to. The fact is that Long Branch is a transportation hub, and was, and will be again, and it's a great city to live in. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brian Unger. I've lived in the city about 28 years, raised 3 children that went through the school system, and lived originally in North Long Branch, and now live in Elkhorn. You know, we go door to door too, and it's funny, what we hear door to door is, we need change. 20 years is enough. You've done some good things, it's fine, it's also time to move on. A lot of people in the city believe in term limits, and a lot of people in the city believe that 20 years is far too enough for one administration. I also supported a new pier, but not a $100 million boondoggle. And not a $100 million pier, for which right now we have about $300,000 in the bank for. The pier cannot fall on the shoulders of our taxpayers. They simply can't afford it. Pier Village is nice, but west of Ocean Boulevard is where the bulk of our residents are, and they want attention to their neighborhoods. They want cleaner, safer streets. I really don't know what statistics Adam is looking at, but I looked at the uniform crime statistics today, and Long Branch's crime rate is up 18% this year. After 20 years, Long Branch voters are suffering from failed redevelopment, from the threat of losing their homes to eminent domain. And one of my first priorities, in addition to passing term limit legislation, is going to be to pass an ordinance that I call Protecting the American Dream. The American Dream was not protected in Matosa, and we need to do that within 60 days of taking office. Thank you.
Okay, and these questions were provided by the link. They will be addressed to all candidates, and we will begin with Mr. Schneider. The recession, the housing market, and court rulings have all changed the way redevelopment has been done in Long Branch over the last few years. What is your vision for city development in the next 4 years? Each candidate will have 1 minute to answer, and then afterwards we will have a 30-second rebuttal for each.
I agree that court decisions have changed the future of redevelopment and revitalization of the city. It is one of the reasons that we settled the eminent domain cases both in the Matosa area and in Beachfront South. I think the real focus is going to be on building a new pier. The fact is the economy has caused us harm. The Broadway Arts Project is at a standstill because of the economy, but that doesn't mean that the revitalization of the city should stop. A pier brings so much to the city. The possibility of ferry service to New York, the possibility of... somebody's going to call out from the audience.
No, please, everyone, please remain civil. If that was...
I don't know what it was, but... And I think the pier is going to be the most important project in the city. We've been negotiating with the bank that holds the mortgages on the Broadway Arts project. We're going to help them try to find a new developer because I think that's going to be essential, because the fact is that Broadway and west of Ocean Avenue was never going to move forward until the oceanfront was revitalized. Now that we've done that, I'm confident that there's going to come a point in time where the economy is going to move forward, where we are going to be able to revitalize Broadway. The idea there was theaters, restaurants, and housing. And I still think that the idea itself is sound.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as Adam knows, and it's been presented to us in a recent City Council session, the weakest link in the Broadway Arts District is some of the theater and entertainment concepts. And that's why the banks are reluctant, actually, to move forward at this time. The project needs to be redesigned from the ground up. It's obvious, and I think several experts have said it publicly and in the press. I have to agree with the mayor. I mean, it's the number one priority in this city to revitalize the downtown Broadway corridor that's now known as the Arts District. It's an eyesore. The project did get killed by the economy. That's an accurate statement. But I really think we need to move toward community-based development, not big box outside, big corporate, big bank. You know, we've got British banks involved down there that are holding the note on the failed hotel complex. We've got big New York banks and national banks. I'd like to see community-based development. I'd like to see us research the founding of a Long Branch Community Development Bank that helps the small businesses on Gelina Avenue, that helps the small businesses on Branchport Avenue, that helps homeowners who are in trouble with debt loads. I'd like to see a city hall, instead of pushing people out of their homes because they're a few months back on their tax bill, help them stay in their homes, have a proactive program, run it out of the housing authority, run it out of a combination of offices in the city. There are people in this city that are being pushed out that just need time to hang on to their mortgages. I know people that would like to make partial payments, and the city is saying, no, we'd rather push you out of your home. But it's uncalled for.
Well, my thoughts on this is, the first thing is, we can't afford to peer because who's going to give us the money? The federal government's not going to give us the money to do it. The pier is very expensive to be built. Piers are not profitable. I don't know where they're going to park, because if you look at Pier Village now, you can't park anywhere down there. We don't have enough parking now. And you stick a pier down there, you're going to have a bigger headache. And parking is a major issue. Funding is a major issue. Do I like the idea of the pier? Yes, I do. But the federal government or the state, and I don't think Christie is in a mood, a Santa Claus mood to give out money, who's going to pay for it? And it's not going to be the taxpayers. You can build the biggest pier you want, but it's not economically viable, and no one's going to make any profit. And to have a ferry is even more ridiculous, because all the ferry services are close to bankruptcy. So you have to keep that in mind.
Thank you very much. We now invite rebuttals, if anybody would like to take up to 30 seconds for rebuttal. You don't have to, but Mr. Schneider, if you would like to.
You know, I think the Broadway Arts project is still quite viable. We never had experts, as Brian said. They never came to the council meeting and told us it couldn't be done. Quite the opposite. We meet with Tysick, who's the lender. I'm not sure where Brian gets his information. Second, we never force people out of their houses in 6 months. That's ridiculous. And a matter of fact, our collection rate in the city went up this year on taxes. We were very pleased to see that. This is a financially viable town. This is a town of people who work for a living, pay their bills. We've kept taxes relatively in check. That's a struggle in this state.
Thank
we
you
all
very
know.
Much. Mr. Unger.
Well, there are families in town that are.
Are you going to make the 30 seconds? Are you
yes,
it's Mr. Unger's.
There are people in town. I mean, Broadway Arts is not a viable project right now. And I think community-based development is really the way to go. Asbury Park has done a wonderful job, block by block, store by store, building a community. Not a community for outsiders, but a community both for outsiders, tourists, and local people. They did it on the boardwalk, they did it on Cookman Avenue, and I really think we've got to rethink this and change directions for the future. When you talk about revitalizing, the west of Ocean Boulevard, I'm worried about the neighborhoods. Does revitalization mean you take eminent domain all the way out to West Long Branch? move people out who have been here for generations. That's the question I have. Why don't you pass an American
Thank you,
ordinance?
Mr. President.
And Broadway Arts is in a redevelopment zone. The zone itself, as the courts that you've been reading in the paper, has been deemed illegal. And the bottom line is, you cannot get financing if you have these projects in the zones. And that's a fact of life, because it's a hindrance. Even the mayor told me my zone was a hindrance. And we both agree on that. And what I intend to do is restore Broadway Arts and all six zones into a free market system. Take the zones away, let nature take its course.
Thank you.
People will come in.
Thank you very much. We now go to the second question, and we'll begin with Mr. Lewis. How would you work to manage the city budget and property taxes?
Well, I think, first of all, the city budget is a roadmap for what you believe in. It's a roadmap for your policies. And I would definitely change some budget priorities in City Hall. I think the crazy spending on city law firms, on cronies, on law firms that help support your campaign, I think right now the city's law firm is financing 15% of Adam's campaign. I don't want to spend millions of dollars on law firms. I'd like to see us cut legal spending, and I'd like to see us talk with people and negotiate with people and sit down with residents instead of them dragging through Superior Court, the Appellate Division, the Supreme Court. You can save a lot of money right there. Number two, I want to go department by department and cut 10% of all discretionary, non-personnel funding. There's lies being spread around this city that I want to cut the police. I have no intention whatsoever. We need every police officer we have in this town. We need every paid fireman we have in this town. And if the lies don't stop, I'm going to do something about it.
Mr. President.
What I intend to do is go into the budgets and go open the books to the public. You're going to see the budget on the internet, and you're going to be able to see where the money went and what we were spending it on. When we open the books for everyone, you're going to be able to see that. By seeing that, you're going to see where it's being wasted and where it isn't being wasted. And that is going to help us out a great deal, because we're not going to need a tax increase after we cut out all the fat. And that's one of the areas that I intend to go line by line and go through all the budgets before I cut any personnel. The last thing I want to do is cut personnel. But we cannot afford to have six-figure salary individuals making all that money, and every year it keeps going up and up and up. We cannot afford it. It's a matter of economics. If we don't stop the spending, this is my campaign, if you don't stop the spending, the values of your properties are going to go down. Simple as that. Basic economics.
Over the last 12 years, we have not increased the operating budget of any department. We've frozen spending, in effect. The other thing we've done is, about a year ago, I stopped rehiring people. It's not a formal hiring freeze, but as people left, we let them retire and we didn't replace them. We figured out how to do the same job with less people. The fact is the state of New Jersey has serious economic problems, and those are going to impact every single city. We absorbed $1 million cut this year. Our UEZ budget has been cut. But we're still figuring out how to do the job with the people that we've had. We have great employees. Whether or not we're going to be able to avoid layoffs a year from now, I frankly don't know. But promises that we're going to not hire or we're going to not lay people off, I find empty. We don't waste your money. I pay the same taxes that everybody else pays. I've lived in this town and paid taxes for 25 years now. We're very cautious with your money. I'm hearing exaggerations about what we do and what we don't do. We froze the amount of sick time people could take and vacation time 15 years ago so that we could hold back on certain areas of spending. We negotiate contracts wisely. We now have employees contributing to their health insurance.
Thank you very much. We now invite rebuttals to Mr. Unger.
One of the areas that I'm going to go into,
Mr. Unger, is the Marshall. If you want. If you would like a 30-second rebuttal.
It's, no, that's fine.
No, that's good. Okay, very good. The next question will begin with Mr. Krebs.
What can the city do to provide recreation to all segments of society and seniors in particular?
What we intend to do as far as recreational facilities, they have built some very nice parks in the city, and the city should be commended for that.
Thank you.
Well, facts are facts. Because I've been going around campaigning, and a lot of the neighbors do like the parks, and you deserve credit for that. I don't have an issue with the parks per se. But as far as recreation, for the seniors, I think we should institute programs where the seniors can come down to City Hall. We can help them out with some free counseling for finances. We can help them out with their lifestyles, maybe provide a few more buses. In areas like that, that's what they really want. And by the way, the seniors have all told me one thing. I can't afford to live here. Can't afford to live here. Stop raising the taxes. Please.
I'd like to thank Mr. Krebs for the compliment about the parks. Manahassett Creek Park took almost 9 years to finish from beginning to end. We were very happy and proud when it opened last August. The senior center has been refurbished. It's a wonderful place for seniors to go. Many of the suggestions Mr. Krebs just made have been in place for years. Pat Cinto does a great job down there. Dr. Mary Jane Selly, who's been a councilman serving with me for 16 years and one of my running mates, is there virtually every day, not only keeping an eye on things from our perspective, but bringing to us the issues of the seniors. We've also contributed to the Housing Authority, who's in the process right now of building a new community center that we're going to be able to use. It's one more example. We contributed the land where the building is now being built, and we contribute $100,000 to the construction. It's a building that's going to have indoor recreation, computer labs, a library. We've also doubled the size of our library. We added to it, we refurbished it, we acquired the one that's now in Elberon. So we've been able to do a lot with recreation in the city over the last 20 years. I'm very proud of those accomplishments.
Well, I don't think we've done enough. I think the youth in this city, particularly the youth that are somehow falling through the cracks, that are joining gangs, that are out on the streets, we're not reaching them. And I appreciate what the mayor's done so far with recreation and with the Bucky James Center. We'll see what the Bucky James Center turns out to be. People are really worried about it. They want to make sure it's a real community center that doesn't that includes everybody. One of the first things I'm going to do shortly after July 1st when I'm sworn in is to create a new position, and I've decided I'm going to call it Director of Sports, Recreation, and Youth Development. I'm going to find a very, very dynamic young person, a resident of this city, who knows this city and knows our city's youth, and we're going to get out there and we're going to make a difference in this gang issue. And that's what I have to say about that. Thank you.
Thirty-second rebuttal, if anyone wants one. Mr.
Krebs? Mr. I have a very exciting young man who's been running my recreation department for the last 16 years. A man by the name of Carl Jennings, who's a city resident.
It's not young.
Please, no interrupting the candidate while we're speaking.
Carl happens to do a great job. You know, if Brian thinks he can find someone better, good luck. Carl takes kids on the get on the bus tour to visit colleges. He's the chairman of the Long Branch Housing Authority. He's involved in the Martin Luther King Guild. He's active at Second Baptist Church. And I'm proud to have him as my recreation director. He reaches out to all segments of this community. We reach everybody, and I'm proud of the job that they do.
Carl's a nice guy, and my comments were never intended to take away from Carl. But as you know, when a new mayor is sworn in, he sets a new vision, he sets a new track, and that's what he follows. And I don't want to have somebody who's on the City Hall payroll serving on boards and commissions. There's too much of that, and there's too much potential for conflict of interest and for people who are driven by political concerns instead of you know, just sticking to their jobs in City Hall. I don't want to have people on the payroll serving on boards and commissions. And there's nothing to take away from Carl. He's a fine church-going gentleman. Let's face it, we need new blood.
Thank you.
We're not doing a good enough job with the young people in this city.
Thank you.
So the final question before we allow the candidates to address each other, and we'll begin with Mr. Schneider. What should the city do to ensure the security of its citizens?
The biggest decision to secure the security of the citizens was actually made in 1994 when we agreed to accept the COPS FAST grant that was put out by the Clinton administration. It was a twofold commitment. One was that we were going to pay half the salary of the policemen we added. The other was that we were going to keep them on the force for the next 3 years. We've kept them on the force for the next 16 years. And we've seen crime go down every year since. We just had a great public safety director retire a month ago, and now we have a new one, Al Mulo. But we have one of the best police departments in the state of New Jersey. The reason crime's gone down is because one of the things we do is we hire Long Branch citizens. You've got to be a resident of this town to take that test. And we've hired men, we've hired women, we've hired Hispanic, we've hired black, we've hired white. Our police department looks like the city of Long Branch. They work in the community. They coach Little League. They coach Pop Warner. They coach recreation basketball. They're active in their own community, and they care what happens here. And it's made the entire town safer.
Thank you. Mr. Owens.
There's no question that we have, it's easily the best police department in Monmouth County, extraordinarily professional, well-run under Bill Richards, but it needs direction. It needs really tough leadership at the top. And it needs a new fresh leader. And I'm going to be professionally doing a search nationwide for a new director come July 1st. What can we do to make the city safer? We might want to take a look at the really high crime zones where those gang murders are taking place. We might want to put cops back on the beat. We certainly don't want to cut the size of the force, but we might want to look at how to make the force more effective, maybe get people out from behind their desks. Maybe talk to the individual officers and ask them what we can do. Use the intelligence they have. I certainly wouldn't want to eliminate the street crimes from a unit at a time like this.
Mr. Press.
What I'd like to do when I get in is I would appoint a new director, and that individual would look around to make structural changes and get more of the patrolmen on the beat, actually walking around. I never have seen any police here walking around on the streets to patrol. They drive around, which is fine. And what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to get the brass to go out with the patrolmen instead of staying in the police departments and see what's really going on. Because patrolmen can tell them a lot of things, but I'd like to see them get into the community and move around and see what's really going on. And that would coordinate it. I mean, overall, I have no problem with the police department at all. It's just structural things and fine-tuning that we all can take care of. And also, I do think the gang problem is something that we do have to look at very carefully.
Thank you.
And we have to work with the state of New Jersey on that.
30-second rebuttals, if you would like to begin with Mr. Schneider.
One of the great advantages of having someone like Carl Jennings and Al Mulo and Tyrone Barrett in the city is that they're able to work together. They've seen continuity in government, and they know that they have my support. So we have patrolmen who work closely, specially assigned to the housing authority, to make sure that area has been made safer, and it has been. We have patrolmen who work on the street crimes, so they know who's hanging out. They know what the trouble spots are. They've been attacking those areas for the last 16 years, and it's reflected in the entire community, both statistically and otherwise.
Thank you, Mr. Unger.
Well, as you know, some years ago when Mayor Giuliani was mayor of New York, he hired a guy named Bratton, and Bratton instituted a program to make New York safer and cleaner. And what he found was that if you cite people for broken windows, if you cite slumlords for sloppy yards and for violating code enforcement, if you stop people committing minor infractions like jumping turnstiles, pretty soon you're reducing crime. Our city's just too plain dirty. And I get this all over town when I'm going door to door. They want a cleaner, safer city. And it starts with the appearance of neighborhoods, and it starts with having police officers that know the city block by block, on their foot, not inside an air-conditioned patrol car.
Like I said, what I'd like to do is, I will be restructuring part of the department, but I have to bring in the experts. And by the way, the new hires are not going to be making the salaries that the old hires are. We can't afford it. We simply can't afford it.
Okay, we go to the next phase of the debate. And in this phase, each candidate will be asked to ask a question of one of their opponents. We ask that the questions remain within 30 seconds. Whoever the question is addressed to has 1 minute to reply, and the one asking the question has a 30-second rebuttal. Each candidate will get to ask two questions, but we will go one at a time, beginning with Mr. Umper.
Either. Well, I go sequentially, just one and
you can ask anything you like of one or both of the candidates.
I guess I'll ask the panel first. Why have you refused to ban the abuse of eminent domain in our city?
You know, I find that kind of an interesting question right now. Last night at a public forum, Brian praised the building of Pier Village, a space that could not have been built without the use of eminent domain. Fact is it has been used in the city, and probably will never be used again. The court decisions have made that clear. It is the court decisions are part of the reason that we settled both the Matosa case and Beachfront Sound. The fact is that it's no longer a viable policy economically, politically, or legally. So I think eminent domain is over in this city.
So why wouldn't you let the ordinance be passed or even introduced to city council? What are you afraid of?
That's your 30-second rebuttal. You don't have to.
That's mine.
Very good. We now go to Mr. Krebs. Excuse me. Yeah, Mr. Krebs.
Okay. Adam, I noticed that the new appraisals that have come out are approximately between 15% and 20% lower than they were the previous years. Now, a lot of people have said to me, are my taxes going to go down? And I indicated to them, probably not. And they were under assumption that they would go down. I'd like to know, since you lowered the rate around 15-20% on those appraisals, on the rate, new rate that you're going to set, what is the new rate going to be, and that's going to have to compensate for the downgrade of the appraisal values?
What you're talking about was a reassessment that was ordered by the county. The last assessment was done very much at the peak of the market, and as a result of a glut of tax appeals, the county came in and we were ordered to do another reassessment that brought the assessments down in some sections of the city considerably and others not so much. What we've done to hold the line on taxes is not replace employees as they leave. Typically what happens is the higher paid employees are the ones who retire after 25 or 30 years. So even if you do replace them, you're replacing them at lower salaries. But we haven't been replacing them, so we have vacancies in the police department, and DPW, and some administrative posts. What I'm really hoping for is something that you actually said with Governor Christie. In cutting state aid to localities, what I'm hoping is also going to do is truly give us the tools to lower the municipal budget. If, for example, if they change the way pensions are done so that employees, instead of getting pensions, which are extremely expensive and a huge part of our budget, and everybody goes into a 401k or some kind of defined contribution plan so that the cost of the taxpayer goes down.
Mr. Krebs, for a rebuttal, if you'd like one.
My question is, how much is the new rate going to be that's coming out after the election?
It's not coming out after the election. Actually, the budget's going to be introduced tomorrow night. We were at zero, but after we got hit with a $1 million cut in state aid, some of that's going to happen.
Thank you. Mr. Schneider, you can now ask your question.
Okay, so the taxes are...
Thank you, Mr. Krebs. You'll get another question if you like. We'll go to Mr. Schneider. Yes, Mr. Schneider, now ask a question.
My question is for Councilman Unger. Since you've announced in your platform that you'd like to enact a cap on unused sick and vacation time, which is something my administration did 15 years ago, and that you'd like to cut operational budget by 10%, from looking at it, that means employees have to go. Exactly what cuts do you intend to recommend?
Well, first of all, if the cap you put on 15 years ago must have been a pretty loose cap. And I would say a lot of spilled milk came out of that bottle in the last 15 years. I mean, you refused to change Ron Melhorn's contract after it took over $1 million in a 3-year period on unused sick and vacation time. How could you inherit a contract from Phil Yoon and never change it for 20 years that allowed that kind of taxpayer abuse?
30 seconds left. Brian simply can't answer that question. He's telling you he's going to cut the budget 10%. When I ask him how, he can't tell you.
Well, there's 1%.
Okay,
right,
very good.
There.
Mr. Unger, you can now ask your question. Second round of questions, beginning with Mr. Unger again.
After the election, as I said, we will go department by department. We're going to see whatever discretionary non-personnel spending we can cut. We're going to continue the attrition program that you've begun. We're going to encourage people whose time may be to take retirement that maybe now's time to go. We're going to do tougher negotiations with our unions going forward, and I mean every union.
Mr.
I think every union can expect to contribute to health care. We started this past year at my suggestion and at Councilman Giordano's suggestion, and we pushed it through. Thank you, Anthony. You did a great job.
We'll go to Mr. Krebs.
Brian, I'd like to know what your attitude is for oceanfront development, because I noticed on your website you want to restrict it now, and I was wondering why you would want to restrict it, because we're going to need all the ratables we can get, and the only place the city can get really good ratables right now is building on the oceanfront. So I'd like to know, you know, why you're sort of against building up on the oceanfront and beachfront south.
I'm not against the development of beachfront south.
It's on your blog.
A blog? I don't have a blog.
Yes, you do.
I haven't blogged on it, I guess, but I'm certainly not against. In fact, I have some great ideas for beachfront south, and it's going to involve retail, and it involves things that the community can actually use, not a huge mega Atlantic City style $1 million condo concept. We've got to have real local retail that fishermen and surfers and beachgoers and the regular people that live in Long Branch want to use. I want to see minutes of golf. I want to see a mini water park for the kids like they have in Ansburg. I want to see restaurants owned by local people. I want to see a surf shop somewhere along Beachfront South. These are the ideas we have, and we're going to be unveiling them during July and August.
The problem with that is this: you don't have the ratables, and putting a park there, an amusement, that's not the place to do it. You need the ratables to keep our taxes frozen for 4 years. There's no way around it. You're not going to take a park and put it on, and you don't have the parking, by the way. You don't even have enough parking for Pier Village. Where are you going to get parking for an amusement park?
The last question, Mr. Schneider. Councilman Unger, last night at a public forum, you praised my work on Pier Village and the administration's work on Pier Village, and even said you would do exactly the same thing. Can you explain the difference between your stated views and that of your campaign mailers?
Exactly the stated. Come on. There's no question, and I believe what I said last night, there's no question that Pier Village is an improvement over what was there. I mean, there's probably maybe 7 people in the city of Long Branch that would rather see the burned down pier and the strip clubs and the businesses that were there. But people also really appreciated the hot dog stands, the old pier, Kramer's baths, running down and getting a slice at Junior's. I mean, that was Long Branch. And we don't have anything for the kids, and we don't have anything for regular working people. And I'm not taking away from your accomplishment, Adam, but I think for the rest of the waterfront development, we got to take a different route, and it's got to be for the people, and it's got to be for the community, and everybody in this community has to feel welcome and want to partake of the recreation and the activities down at the beachfront.
We have warm, free activities in Pier Village during the summer and throughout the year, between the Christmas tree lightings, the concerts. We have inexpensive restaurants like Michelangelo's and Stewart's where you can get a slice of pizza. We also have some of the finest restaurants on the Jersey Shore. The fact is that where Mr. Krebs lives is virtually exclusively a residential neighborhood, and you're not going to put a commercial zone in the middle of it. And we spent the better part of a year and a half working with the restaurants to settle the entire eminent domain proceedings there so there wouldn't be any more takings. You're not going to get large-scale development in there unless a property owner wants it. I resent you for some fear tactics that we're going to use eminent domain anywhere else. That issue is over with.
Thank you. We're going to now hear the questions from the audience. And we'll begin with the questions to Mr. Unger, but they will also go to each candidate. If elected, what will you do to make Branchport Creek clean again so residents can swim in it once more?
Well, I think there's been an effort begun. I understand that people have been lobbying DEP on a cleanup. I understand that Monmouth Park is involved. I believe that they've been ordered to stop the downriver flow of material from Monmouth Park, from the horses, from the stables, basically, into the creek. So, I mean, I've been an environmentalist for 30 years. I spent time as a board member of Surfrider Foundation of Monmouth County, Monmouth County Friends of Clearwater, Surfers Environment Alliance. So I think my environmental track record has been very clear. And, you know, I've got some ideas on cleaning up Lake Tackenacity, and that would go for Branchport Creek as well.
What we have to do is we have to go in there and appoint a couple of people to really take a look at it, and if the horse track is dumping stuff in there, it has to stop. And I know they are sort of working on that, and I'd like to see it cleaned up also, and there's plenty of ways to do it. I just have to get in there and take a hard look at it, and I intend to do that, by the way. Mr. Schneider.
One of the great advantages of having council people you can work with is that you can do a lot of work, that you get a lot of work done. Councilman Giordano, with some of the local residents from Long Branch and people from Oceanport, and I have been working with DEP and the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority to force them to clean up. Over the course of the last 2 years, the organization has been able to force them to tie into the Twin River Sewage Authority. They almost tied into Long Branch about a year ago. And if they don't successfully clean it up, they're operating under threat of actually being shut down. So this is an issue that we've been working on with the residents for the past 2 years.
Would anyone like a rebuttal? Anyone with Mr. Unger? Mr. Krebs? Okay. Every candidate during the campaign promises to cut taxes. Please give specific examples of where in the budget you would cut and how that would impact services to residents. And we'll begin with Mr. Krebs.
Okay.
1 minute, please.
Thank you. One of the ways that I believe we can cut back is I have to go through, this is called opening the books. When you open the books, I'm going to see where the money's going and what the expenses are. Some of the areas we can cut back on some of the vehicle use. If people are heads of the department driving the cars and then they make over $100,000 a year, they can afford to drive their own cars into work. I don't think that's asking too much. We're going to go around to the other areas bit by bit to cut down the budget. And I don't want to throw people out of work, but I know once you open the books are going to be yelling at you. And not only that, I'm going to put the books on the internet. And you're going to see where the money is, and you're going to see a simple balance sheet and something you can follow, not a balance sheet that looks like a three-card money and you don't know which account the money is. And there's plenty of money laying around in the slush accounts. And I have to see where all that money is. And I will. And I'll show you where it is. That's how you save money. And that's how I intend to cut the budget.
Okay. I'm going to continue the policies that have been working for the last 15 years. Things like limiting the amount of sick and vacation time, improving the city, improving the tax base. One of the reasons the pier is so essential to us is if we're going to see Broadway improve, we're still going to have to see other improvements on the oceanfront, and that's the biggest one of all. If we get that public works project moving, you're going to see Broadway change. The stronger the tax base, the better the city taxes will be, the lower the... I don't know that they're ever... I almost said they're going to be lower. I don't know that they will be. The fact is that we're looking for what Governor Christie's going to do. In cutting state aid, he now has to give us the tools that are going to enable us to provide services at a lower cost. If they don't do that, it's going to get extremely difficult for municipalities. I know every mayor in the state is worried about that. I don't go around promising things I can't deliver. It's one of the things I'm proudest about. We've delivered on virtually everything we've set out to do. I set goals and I work to achieve them. We're still working to make the city a better place, and the better it is, with a pier, with a revitalized oceanfront, hopefully with a revitalized Broadway, you will see a stronger tax base.
Well, what we can't do is have a pier subsidized by city taxpayers. You know, with a $100 million price tag and $300,000 in the bank for it, we need about... I'd say $99.7 million going forward. The cost of a ticket on the ferry in Highlands is $650 a month. I just took the boat into New York the other day. $650 a month. How many residents of Long Branch can afford to commute to New York and pay $650 a month? So before you start going out looking for money for a pier, we should be doing market research, which we haven't done. Serious market research on how many riders we're going to get on this ferry. The ferry in Highlands is, as I understand it, operating on a razor-thin margin and unable to make capital investments in its fleet. So,
you get 30-second rebuttal, if you like. Beginning with Mr. Gross.
Well, let me add a second real quick.
Sure.
We need to approach the pier as a regional project. It needs to be a project for regional government, Monmouth County. We need to have Monmouth County government behind us. We need to have all the cities and towns around us that are going to benefit from a pier and from pier-based tourism involved, not just the city of Long Branch taxpayers.
Very good. 30-second rebuttal.
I don't like turning out the lights, but who's going to cough up the $100 million? That's the real question. Where is it coming from? I'd love to have a pier, but we don't have $100 million. We're already $45 million in debt. And the bottom line is you add another 100 to that, you're really getting up there. So we simply don't have the money, and the ferry service is out of the question. If you think parking is bad now, go up to the ferry parks. I go to New York all the time. And you know what? Try to park up there.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. 30 seconds.
You know, I can understand Mr. Krebs referring to as a $100 million pier, but Mr. Unger being on the council, I can't, because we know full well that the first phase of the pier is a $50 million, half that cost. And we've already been negotiating with the federal government to get the funds from them. They paid almost $4 million to do the study, to do the engineering, to do the planning, to do all the things that are necessary to do exactly that, to make sure that that ferry service is viable. And if it comes out that it's not, then I still want to build a pier without the ferry service, because I think it is essential to Long Branch. I think it is vital to our economics and to the economic viability of the city. But of course, when it came time to vote on hiring the engineer, Brian was absent.
I've got a day job, I've got a real job, and like anyone else on council, including Anthony, including Michael, including David, who have a job, we occasionally miss a council meeting. And many, many times that it's been referred to that I missed a council meeting, I came in by telephone. And I certainly supported the pier. The money was spent on development prior to the worst recession since 1929. And we didn't file with the Obama government for stimulus money. We missed the deadline for that. And now, you know, given the fiscal situation in the state, it's going to be tough. But you know what? I'm in favor of the pier. Huntington Beach has a beautiful steel pier without a ferry. It's a great entertainment and commercial hub for Orange County, California, and I love that model. And you know, come July 1st, we're going to be working on that as well throughout July and
August. Thank you.
It's nice to see we have a lot of kids out here. The former Senator Patrick Moynihan once said that kids neither vote nor pay taxes, and this is reflected in our public policy. And one of the residents wants to know, if elected, what will you do for the children in the community? And we'll begin with Mr. Schneider.
You know, maybe the best thing we've done for the children in the city is the opening of new parks. In the last few years, we rebuilt Jerry Morgan Park in the middle of the city. We acquired the land and built Manahassa Creek Park in the north end of the city. We rebuilt and opened Truax Avenue Park in the southern end of the city. We maintained them well. We've expanded our recreation programs. I praised Carl Jennings before. I'll do it again. Each and every program, Pop Warner, Little League, basketball, wrestling, have grown and will continue to. We're working with the Housing Authority because we know we need more indoor recreation. We gave them the land. We gave them money to help them build it. We'll be able to use the recreation, the building, when it's finished in July. We've also done something else. Working with the Housing Authority, we've helped them rebuild Grant and Garfield Court. They're going to rebuild Woodrow Wilson. So we're providing better housing for the children of this community. All of those things are essential to making sure that this is a viable, vibrant town.
Thank you, Mr. Unger.
Well, I've put three kids through this great school system here in Long Branch, and I'm very proud of that. My kids went to private schools before they went to school in Long Branch, and this was by far the best experience they had. So we've got to cooperate with the Board of Education and with the leadership of the Long Branch school system, and it's critical we have a solid working relationship, that we pull resources, that we're able to use facilities to the maximum extent that's reasonable between the two different governmental bodies, the school board and the city. And as I said, I want to find a new dynamic director of recreations, sports recreation, and youth development. It's the youth development part that's really important. It's tough out there, and the modern world is a tough environment for kids, and kids go bad, and we've got to catch every kid we can and turn them to positive endeavors. Finally, one of the great things we can do for kids in the city is show them a real democracy of work in City Hall. That's what I'm going to do.
Mr. Bass.
What I'd like to do for the kids here is to make them financially able to understand money. And the only way we can do that is actually teach them. And one of the things I'd like to do at City Hall and some of the other schools is to have, especially teenagers, come in and learn about finance. And since that's the area of my specialty, and I've done that for many years, I certainly will be volunteering my time to make the students financially literate, so they know where to spend their money, and they don't get stuck with credit cards and all the things that they learn the hard way later on. And they don't get into student loans that are way over their head.
Beginning with Mr. Schneider, would you like a rebuttal?
I find it interesting that in all the discussion of recreation in this town, I don't see the other candidates at any of the events, ever. I don't see them at the high school sporting events. I don't see them at the events that Carl Jennings puts on. I don't see them at the basketball games, the wrestling matches, the football games. You know, it's real easy to tell people during an election how much you care about the kids. But elections come around once every 4 years, and I've spent the last 20 years involved with the children of this community. I know who coaches them. One of them is Al Macon, who's running with me. I know where the fields are. I know who the players are, and it's the best part of the job. Almost 20 years ago, my wife told me, I can't go to Giant and Jet games because I can't miss a whole day Sunday. But I can go to any Long Branch sporting event I want. And I've been doing it for the last 20 years, and I promise you, I'm going to be doing it for the next four, too.
Well, like the mayor said,
it's been 20 years, and 20 is plenty, baby. Time to move on. I'm working day and night. I'm working day and night to pay my taxes 7 days a week, and I'm sorry if I missed your wrestling match.
I intend to continue my quest to make the students financially literate. That's my contribution to the city, and I will do it.
Thank you. We're going to have two more questions, and then we're going to go to closing remarks. Beginning with Mr. Unger, how do you plan on addressing the issue of out-of-state landlords in renting to college students and the quality of life issues this presents? Beginning with Mr. Unger.
Well, you really have to have, I mean, look, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't quote you statute, you know, by page and number, but I intend to have our new city attorney and some new, and his staff thoroughly research what we can do. There's been suggestion that we can raise the minimum fine. Apparently the maximum fine is set by the state superior court system. I really want to look into raising the minimum fine on landlords that tolerate abusive tenants, whether they're college students or any other tenant. We really need to aggress, and I've asked our city attorney to do this, and he politely declined. But we need to really get aggressive and research what we can do to make our residential neighborhoods cleaner and safer. And they are impacted by the university. And we just have to do better. And I'm going to put a lot of effort into it because code enforcement, after July 1st, reports to the mayor. Right here, code enforcement.
What I intend to do is, obviously, if there's a bunch of animal houses going on, I'm going to go over there and turn the lights out. And we can't do it by code enforcement. We can do it by all sorts of other sanctions. But we have to have a balance also because the students help our economy. Don't ever forget that. We have a lot of students who put a lot of money into the city of Long Branch. So I will be working with the university and going over what they think might be a good idea. But am I going to control the animal houses? You better believe it.
About 8 years ago, we enacted an animal house ordinance. We patterned it after what Belmar did, so that after a certain amount of violations, the landlord has to post a very expensive bond, so we take the profit motive out of being a bad landlord. We have a very aggressive code enforcement department. We identify each and every college house, a house with college students living in it, and we visit them at the beginning of every school year. We make sure that they know what the rules are. We take Monmouth University police with us, and we advise them of what rules they're going to have to follow. We also make sure that our local residents know the phone number of the police officer, the pastor has been Frank Rizzuto, so that they know exactly who to call if and when there's a problem. They know who the watch commander is. And if we have houses that present particular problems, we get a little bit more aggressive with them. We've done a pretty good job with the issue. It is a chronic problem. We can't tell landlords who they can and can't rent to. That kind of discrimination is not permitted in this state. But we've also tried to create new law by enacting a 1CO ordinance so that if you're a homeowner who never leaves your town, you can only rent it out once a year.
Would anybody like a rebuttal?
My comment on that is, especially where I live, if I'm restricted to one rental a year, that's cutting in on my rights because I want to rent my property during the summer and I want to rent it during the year. And I should be able to do that. And in order to get a CO, the city demands the name of the occupant. So we are violating somebody's rights here. And what I'm looking to do is to lift that ordinance so once every 2 years you come in and get a CO. You don't need to do it twice a year or even once a year. It's just loading the town up with paperwork that's needless, and the landlords don't need that aggravation. But the landlords have to be held accountable. I agree with the mayor on that.
Well, you also, I mean, the case Adam's talking about is very, very important. There's no question about it. And the city did a good thing by filing that case and pursuing it. I did read the brief. But also, you know, being mayor, you've got a big bully pulpit. And you got to use your bully pulpit. And you got to go to Trenton. And you got to go to Freehold. And you got to talk to your state senators and your assembly people. And we should be networking with the mayors and city councils in Montclair up wherever Ramapo College is based, South Jersey at what used to be Glassboro State, what is now Rowan, where Ryder College is based out there west of Trenton. We should be networking with these towns and trying to get the toughest legislation passed to protect our neighborhoods. There are streets in Elbron and in West End where you have one extraordinarily substandard ramshackle slumlord dwelling, whether it's college kids or other people, that are literally destroying those blocks. And we just have to do something about it. We got to do better. Mr. Schneider. Several years ago, we put special police officers in the code enforcement department. We meet every month with Monmouth University to help enforce our rules and regulations. Dr. Sully's been a part of those meetings for probably the last 15 years. We work with their police department to make sure that the kids don't get out of control. It's never going to be perfect. Out-of-town landlords have less interest in what goes on in their this community than people who do live here. But we've had a very strong code enforcement department. If you go to our municipal court, you'll see 50, 60 code violations being prosecuted virtually every week.
Thank you.
Okay, our last question. We'll begin with Mr. Krebs. How was your relationship with Superintendent Ferreira?
That's a fair question. Okay. My relationship is this. I've certainly met Mr. Ferreira, and I believe he is retiring this year or next year, and he has done a commendable job with the education system. What I intend to do is, before he leaves, whoever they want to appoint as mayor of the city, I intend to have some real input on that. And I also intend to have some real input on what goes on in the Board of Education. I'll work with the board members, but I think we have to have a very strong city presence. And the reason for that is we are paying the bills, part of the bills. And that's my point. We pay the bills. I want full value. So my relationship with him is fine. I don't have a problem with him.
Thank you. Mr. Schneider.
My relationship with Mr. Freeman is fine also. The fact is I'm also concerned with my relationship with the teachers and the students. And one of the best part of my job has been getting involved in the school system as much as time allows. You know, I was here Friday night for my daughter's play. I'm going to be coming back in a couple of days for the wrestling team dinner. I know all the kids on that particular team. Brian, sorry, he missed the match. Well, he missed 3 years. We were just about the best wrestling program in the state of New Jersey, and I had a blast with those kids. The fact is that being mayor opens certain doors to you where you can get to know and influence people. 17 years ago, I spent a summer lifting weights with the high school football team, and I still see a lot of those kids, and I'm still close to them. It made a difference in my life, and if I had a positive influence on them, it was a great thing. You know, you go to the Little League games, you go to the Pop Warner games, and you watch kids grow up, and you meet their parents, and you see who's there for them. And if you have an impact on them, it's a great thing.
Well, what Adam is describing again is 20 years. You know, a lifetime mayor. I mean, this is what happens in small South American countries. And I'm going to introduce term limits. I'm sorry I missed the wrestling match. I thoroughly support the school system. I have a great relationship with Joe Ferreira, a great relationship. I know some people criticize Joe because he's a strong leader, and that's going to happen. But I happen to think he provides real leadership. I think he's been a visionary. I think he's got tremendous schools built. I know what the criticism of him is. However, let me tell you this. We have a pledge together to work together in his remaining year and a half in office to make sure that the city hall and the school system work hand in hand to make our recreation better, to use facilities that every kid in the city can use. And I plan on doing that.
Then we'll now go to closing remarks, and we'll begin with Mr. Schneider.
Thank you very much. I have been mayor for 20 years, but you know, each time I want another term, I have to go out and ask for it. I have to go knock on doors and talk to people and tell them why I want to run again, why I want another term, and ask them to vote for me. I don't think that's too much. I think it's actually a very fair deal. If you want someone to vote for you, you have to ask them for that vote. And I've spent the last couple of months doing just that. But it isn't just about knocking on doors in the last 3 months. It's about going to ball games and seeing people. It's about working with them. It's about helping to create jobs. It's about showing up at the concerts. It's about going to their meetings. It's about going to their houses. It's about helping them with their lives. And that's what we've been doing. And that's how I actually selected my running mates. People who have been involved in this community most, if not all, of their lives. People who've taught in this community. People who are part of the Neighborhood Preservation Program. People who coach Little League. I'm proud of my running mates. I'm very proud of the job that I've done with the people I've served with for the last 16 years. The goal is to ask you one more time. I'm enthused about what I've heard on the street. I'm still passionate about this job, and I'll always be passionate about the city. It's my home. Thank you very much.
Mr. Unger.
Well, you know, there'll always be a place for you in Long Branch, Adam, as ex-mayor, and I look forward to actually getting advice from you going forward, especially my first year in office, and we're happy to have you here. We're happy to have Bob here. Bob, I hope you don't move out.
Thank you. Hope you don't move out either.
Thank you.
California.
For both of us, we'll meet at Pier Village. Have a beer together.
Yeah.
I just want to say I have a great team too, and Adam has some nice people on his ticket, and so does Bob. And we have a lifelong school teacher, Diane Sumpner. We've got Joe Moriello, a police detective with 30 years, one of the most highly decorated police officers in the state of New Jersey. We've got John Gregory, a really brilliant attorney that's worked on labor issues and things like that, and healthcare. We've got Sharon Wise, who's active in the Condominium Association, who's been a city activist, especially interested in animal rights. So, you know, my fondest wishes as this campaign comes to a close is that we all move forward together. You know, we're one city, and I'm hoping to work with everybody in this room, make the city a better place for every single neighborhood and every single person in the city of Long Branch.
What I intend to do is to treat Long Branch like a corporation. I'm going to run the corporation, but you're going to be the shareholders, and my council is going to be the board of directors, and you're going to be able to vote me in or vote me out. And we intend to perform because you're going to be the ones to make the judgment, and you're going to see the annual reports that you're going to get every year that's going to show everything that we've done. And that's the direction we're going to go, and the bottom line is, we got to stop the spending, and I intend to do that. And I'd like to thank everybody for coming here tonight. It's very nice seeing you.
Can we give all the candidates a round of applause? Thank you very much. On behalf of the Link and the good people at Monmouth County NAACP, we thank you for coming out on this rainy night, and go vote on May 11th. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you, we're ready. Let's go there.